Well, good morning again, everybody. Let us go to the Lord once more in prayer. Father, thank you again. And now as we come to the point in our service where we get into your word, Lord, we dig it, we mine it, we look for the jewels, as many people have often said, that we can take and we can apply to our lives. And Lord, this morning, the subject we're going to be covering, Lord, is very important to us, especially in this world now. Father, where we need to be set apart, we need to be different, we need to be holy. And the reason we need to be holy is because you said, "Be ye holy because I am holy." And Father, we now turn to your word. Lord, I ask that you remove me from it and let your spirit speak for itself to each person as they would have it. Thank you, Father, for all that you have given us, including your word and most especially your Son, Jesus Christ. And in his most precious name we pray, amen. So this morning we're going to continue in 1 Peter. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 19, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But I noticed that what we're going to be talking about this morning is being holy. Now, all of us have been through enough Sunday school classes and church training and seminary classes and Bible study that we understand that the word holy literally means to be set apart. Now, used to, in America, and for us here this morning, and for many other people, and I'm not talking about work or something, you know, something you have to tend to sometimes on Sundays. I understand that's not what I'm talking about here. Sunday was set apart. Sunday was holy, in that we took that day out of the seven to honor and worship and come before the Lord. Now, we know that the Ten Commandments tell us to keep the Sabbath holy. Well, the Sabbath is not Sunday. The Sabbath is Saturday. Okay? But we're not under law, we're under grace. And Christians meet is because Sunday is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And it is that day that we worship Him as our risen Savior. But unfortunately, over the years, and I understand the pagan world, the heathen world, they do not understand this precept, this concept. But Sunday to the church has become less and less. Now, folks, I know what I'm talking about because when I was a paramedic firefighter, I had to work a lot of Sundays, and I had to work a lot of Sundays in my hometown. So I would go to church. I would sit in the balcony, and I'd have my beeper and my pager and my radio and all that stuff. And man, when I got a call, they thought the trumpet was blowing because up from the balcony, burr, and I had to rush down. My pastor finally convinced me to turn it on vibrate. But anyway, we had to go to work. So I understand sometimes you are called on the Sabbath day, on our Sabbath day, Sunday. There's things you have to do. But in your heart, do you set apart things as holy, whether it be a day or whether it be a moment, whether it be an event? Do we set them off? Do we dedicate them to God? Now, Peter, the fisherman, is going to tell us that we should do this. And I believe, because it's in the Word of God, that we should do this. We should make every effort we can to do this. You see, there's many situations we Christians find ourselves that really go against what we believe. We are confronted by hypocrisy and lust and greed and all other sort of temptations. However, we are called to be holy. We are called to be different. When someone sees us out in the public, we should be doing things that mark us as different from the world. But unfortunately, many of us, and I dare say even your pastor, sometimes forgets that. And I want to fall into the trap of being just like the world. I want what they got. I see what they say. No, I am called. You are called to be different, to be a Christian. And in that calling, you are blessed because you have someone with you, the Holy Spirit, that is indwelling you, that helps you get through the moments with the world when they don't have anybody. It literally drives them nuts. They lose all hope in things, but we should never lose hope, because we have that which is the source of all hope. You see, we are set apart by God for His purposes in Christ. We are made holy by God. Think about that for a second. We believers are consecrated and set apart for the work of God by God Himself. All three of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, plays their part in consecrating us. And we should never walk away from that. We should never forget that. We should never take it for granted. And unfortunately, we find ourselves doing that a lot. We must rely on the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us from such stumbling. Remember, we closed last week with Jude, and we said that now to Him who is able to prevent you from stumbling, it is Christ that prevents us from stumbling. Why? Because He has set us apart. Does that mean we're going to mess up every now and then? Of course we're going to mess up. We're still human. But that's not our desire. That's not our want to. That's not our aim. We are to be holy so that we will be set apart. You see, today's text from the fisherman speaks to the reason we are and must continue to be set apart unto God through Jesus Christ. Now let's read 1 Peter 1, 13 through 19, starting at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, there's a lot in that text today, brothers and sisters. How are we to become holy, and how are we to maintain holiness in light of the biblical directive we just read? Now, we cannot on our own, and I want us to remember this, on our own, we cannot become holy. We cannot do things right enough. We cannot keep enough laws. We cannot do these things. The only thing that we are called to do to be holy is believe. Now, once you believe, you will do things. Because your heart is changed by Jesus Christ, you will begin to do things that are holy. But without Christ, the only thing you're doing, even if it's a good thing in the world standards, is saying, hey, look at me. Look what I've done. I'm a good person. I've helped the poor. I've donated money. I've cooked fish. I've done everything. But if you're doing it for your own self, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. You must be doing it to bring honor and glory to Christ. And if you believe on Him, if He has changed your heart, if you now have the Holy Spirit, you will automatically do these things for His honor and His glory. So how are we to separate ourselves from the profane and common vulgarities of today's world? Well, it tells us how. First, it says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we've all seen the pictures of girding up your loins where the guys in the Old Testament or New Testament robes, they'll hike down and they'll pull up their bottom thing and they'll put it over in their belt and it'd be like they're wearing gym shorts, okay, with their legs sticking out, and they can work or they can run or they can fight, they can do anything in that. Whereas in a long skirt, you can't really do that. But we are to gird up the loins. That is a euphemism to guard ourselves, to be ready for action, to separate ourselves as ready to go out and do what God has called us to do. It is to put on the armor so that we can work or fight against those things that would harm us or those we care about. In doing this, girding up your loins, you have to be sober. Now, that word sober does not just mean not drunk. It means to be serious minded. We're not doing this flippantly. We're not preparing for battle as a drunk soldier would do. You know, hey, here's my bullet, here's my gun. Barney Fife stuff. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having a serious mindset, being ready, understanding what God has called us to do, understanding the spiritual equipment He has given us to do, understanding the providence that He has given us through which we can accomplish the goals. You see, God has His hands in our lives. I don't know, did many of you receive the text from Miss Lisa on her mission trip that she was having problems at the airport and they were a little bit nervous. God intervened. It's funny. I know of another mission trip that Shawnee went on many years ago. Hurricane Katrina had just come through. They didn't have any fuel for the airplane at the airport. But yet God got the fuel there. God got Miss Lisa down to Brazil. And she texted later and said, "Hey, we made it here. Praise God." And I praise God. And I'm praying that He's going to be with her during this whole time of godly work. You see, brothers and sisters, this life, this Christian life, is not a game. You see, brothers and sisters, it's very unfortunate that we in the West, we've been so blessed by God that we take the blessings for granted. We're here in a beautiful sanctuary. We're here among brothers and sisters that can freely come or freely not to come. We're here understanding and enjoying the music and the pianos and all this stuff. Well, we've got brothers and sisters meeting in mud huts with lookouts to keep eye on whether the police are going to show up and raid their church service, or whether they're going to be hauled away and executed for believing in the wrong God. Brothers and sisters, never let us take advantage, or never let us take for granted the blessings that God has given us through our belief and our faith. This is not a game. There's not a do-over once we're finished with the race. And that's one of the things. Now, I like to play video games. I don't get too often, but I did when I was on the ambulance. You know, a lot of boring hours sitting in the station. But every time you would die, you got a do-over. You pressed a button and boom, you were alive again. That is not the way it works in real life. And I wish people would understand that do this, not to take away from your enjoyment, but their young people need to understand there's not a do-over like you have in a video game. There's not a great wheel of karma in the sky like some religions teach, where if you die, you get to start over as a goat or something. No! It is appointed for man once to die and then the judgment. And brothers and sisters, you will be judged. Whether you're judged in Christ and covered by the blood of Christ, where your sins are forgiven and you're reconciled unto God, or you will be judged according to your works, as Peter mentioned. And if you don't have God with you, if you don't have God the Son with you, you will pay the price for being judged of your works. Because can any man do it on his own? No. The answer is no. You must have an intercessor. And our intercessor is the only intercessor. You know, when we were singing the days of Elijah and that line, "There's no God like Jehovah." Well, I was messing with Shiny a little bit and I was singing, "There's no God but Jehovah." Because He is the only God and He is the only intercessor. Jesus Christ is the only intercessor between God and man. Period. It is to Christ in whom we go. And it's to Him we pray. And to Him that we give all honor and glory. Why? Because this is the only life we have. This is where we do what God has called us to do. You see, we are to look unto Christ who gives us the wherewithal to accomplish what He's called us to do. We are to hope. It says there, after saying, girding up your loins and being sober, it says, hope to the end. That's another word for perseverance. We hope until the day we draw our last breath. And what are we to hope for? That the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revealing, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there's two times in a Christian's life that Jesus will be revealed. The first time is when you come to Him in faith. Jesus reveals Himself through the Holy Spirit to you. He gives you everything you need to believe, but you have to believe. How do I get that? Well, brothers and sisters, the Bible does say things about God choosing you, and that's true. But there's also times when Jesus presented a choice and the wrong choice was made. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. He was a very religious man. And he said to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know, you've read the prophets, you've read the law, you know what to do." And the man said, "Well, I've done all these things since my youth." And Jesus said, "But you lack one thing." You see, that's what scares people about Jesus. When they come to Jesus, he puts a mirror up in front of you and he says, looky here. This is why you need me. And Jesus said, go and sell all that you have, because he knew the guy was rich. Jesus knows everything about you. And sell all you have and give to the poor, and then come follow me. And the man went away saddened. And Jesus was sad in his heart. Because you see, there's something that the devil, that the world, that our own flesh always has a hold on. Well, I don't want to give this up. I don't want to give this up. No, you must give it up. You must give it up so that you can become holy, separated unto God by faith for His purposes in your life. Brothers and sisters, it's very important we understand that. You see, that's that first time Jesus reveals himself when we come to faith. But then there's going to be the second time that Jesus reveals himself to us. And that is the accomplishment of our faith. When the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. And he reveals himself as we sing. Behold, he comes riding on a cloud in the eastern sky. Just like he went up, he will come again. He will come again and he will set his foot on the same mountain he left. We read in Scripture where he sets his foot on the Mount of Olives when he returns. I got some bad news for some of the groups down the street, okay? Independence, Missouri is not where Jesus is coming back, okay? You cannot change the Word of God. And the Word of God, both Old Testament and New Testament, says that he is coming back to Jerusalem. When he puts his foot on that mountain, the valley is going to split. And when the valley splits, they will look on him whom they have pierced. See, the people that pierced Jesus are going to be the ones that see it. Not folks here in America, not folks in Europe, not folks in Africa. The folks where Jesus sets his foot. And that is Jerusalem. But that's another sermon for another time. Just wanted to bring that up. Because he reveals himself to some degree now to us through the Holy Spirit. And as Paul said, we see now darkly as looking into a glass. Remember, back in those days, they didn't have mirrors like we had. Now, they had mirrors, polished bronze or polished brass or some things like that, or reflective surfaces like the water. They could see, but it was different. So he says, you're looking through a glass darkly. You can see, but you can't see all of it. Well, when Jesus reveals himself, we're going to have the glory of God shining all around us, and we're going to see everything that we need to see. And we're going to understand. Now, that's the best part, because when that happens, we are going to have the mind of Christ. Because there's some things right now, folks, I'm going to tell you, I can't figure out. There's a lot of things I can't figure out in this world. How can they give up on such a great salvation when what they know in their heart they're doing is wrong? And I'm talking about all kinds of sins in all kinds of places. You know when you do something wrong, you try to hide it. You try to sneak it. You try to bury it in paperwork. You try to run and hide in a corner. At least that's the way it used to be. Now they're doing stuff out in broad daylight and they don't care because they don't believe. Well, I don't have to believe. You're absolutely correct, but that does not make it untrue if you don't believe. I can believe that that's the moon shining out there right now. And if I had enough moonshine, I probably would think about that. But that doesn't make it any difference. That's the sun we see out there. And you see, the sun is who we need to look at so that we can be holy, that we can be separated unto God. Well, let's continue. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. How many times was we as Christians and we as people here that we're to be obedient to His Word and to His will before we begin to actually do it? Now that falls back into what I was talking about earlier about the Bible tells us to worship God corporately together as often as we can. But many people form habits where they take themselves out of worship, out of well, let me rephrase this. You cannot take yourself out of the presence of God because God is always with us. But we try to put other things before Him. Now, folks, like I said, I understand. Some folks got to work on Sundays. I understand that. Some folks, they have well-earned rest and relaxation and other things on Sundays. It's not what you do. It's the heart you do it with. That is the key. the heart you do it with. Do you want to be on church? Even though you may not be able to for whatever reason, do you want to be there? That shows the right heart. And then you make every effort, if at all possible, to be there. Yes, those are the things we must do. For when we do so, we are obedient children. It says to be as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. And folks, we are not to be with Jesus as we once were without Jesus. And God gives us choices. And we need to make those choices according to what the Word of God and the will of God says. It is not wrong when you face a choice. Now, I'm not talking about where do I go to KFC or do I go to Burger King today? Which one do I go to? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you have life choices, and God will let you know when those choices are necessary. Everything else He gives you common sense to, okay? But when you're called to ask Him at the moment, ask Him in prayer, in your mind, in your heart, whisper it, whatever, but ask Him, and He will show you the right way if you have the Holy Spirit within you. We must do these things. We are not to be like the world and its lusts. Now, folks, I'm not just talking about sexual lust here. There's all kind of lust. We lust for power. We lust for position. We lust for money. We lust for all sorts of things. And these things condemn us to be just like the wicked ones that are around us. Folks that have no love for God, that no love for Christ. You see, before we knew Him, we were ignorant. As it says, in to the former lust in your ignorance. Former, past, forgiven. But we were in ignorance when we did them. You see, before Him, we knew Him, we were ignorant. But now we have put on Christ and we have the truth. Remember, the Bible tells us that the truth sets us free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8. It is a blessing also, for it allows us to receive and appreciate all that Jesus has done for us and has given to us so that we might be called the children of God. John chapter 1. You see, we do preach and we believe and we talk about and we look forward to all the heavenly eternal blessings that we have. But as was brought out to me this week, we have blessings right here, right now. Least of which, we have someone that loves us, that sticks closer to us than a brother. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because if we have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit within us, we also have the Spirit of Christ within us. In fact, it's called the Spirit of Christ in several places in Scripture. That is the first place we can turn to, whether in bad times or in good times. Brothers and sisters, you have been in situations where you thought things were dire, but God pulled it out. And He's smiling the whole time because you realize it was Him that was with you during the test and during the trial. He got you through that. And you were grateful. You see, our blessing not only awaits us. Remember, we talked about our inheritance is in heaven, undefiled, and it's there for us. It is eternal. Well, we start that down here. I don't want to call it writing a check, but you know you have that bank up there of all the blessings you have, but you have access to it now. Now, the blessing may not be what you expect. Sometimes God, I believe, has a sense of humor, and He does things in a circular way around so that you will know that it is Him and not you. Remember old Gideon? Gideon, unlike the VeggieTales, Gideon did not play a tuba, Brother Allen. Don't forget that. No, Gideon was called by God to take an army and go out and defeat an enemy of Israel. And God only chose 300 out of the thousands. And you remember the test, lapping up the water and all that stuff. But brothers, it's said He did that for this reason, so that when the victory was won, Israel would not give themselves the glory, but would know where it came from. You see, Jesus is with us all the time. There's an old song, "My Lord is with me all the time." It's true. It's true. And that blessing that we have filters down to other blessings, to things that happen in our lives that can only come through and for and by the power of Almighty God in your life. Does that mean if I find me a car and I circle backwards 7 times around it and blow a trumpet like Joshua did at Jericho, is that car going to become mine? That is silly. Now, God may give you that car at the proper time if you need it. But prayer is not a set of magic words where you go abracadabra and boom, what you wished for. Because what happens? The Bible tells us when we pray as we ought not, because we want to spend it on our lusts. We don't want to be holy. We don't want to be separated unto God. We want to have what everybody else has. Folks, that's not what we are here for. You see, it is a blessing because Jesus has done all this for us and has given all this to us so that we might be called the children of God. And the world hates this fact. You know, the world's okay if you're religious. You can have a religious or what do they call it nowadays? Spirituality. Folks, there's a lot of spirits running around this world. Some of them ain't that good. The world hates when Jesus is brought into the equation. They don't even mind if you believe in God. Sort of. But you better not bring Jesus into the conversation. That tells me right then and right there that Jesus is what He said. He is the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. Brothers and sisters, we got to understand that is a truth. The world hates this. It hates Jesus. Don't you remember when He was talking to His disciples and said, "Don't fear when the world hates you, because it doesn't hate you really, it hates Me. Because if you were of the world, it would leave you alone." One of the number one signs that you're not in a proper relationship with God is when the devil doesn't bother you. You know why he doesn't bother you? He doesn't have to. But when you're trying to do your best and God is with you and you're making strides and becoming holy, as we're talking about this morning, and the devil throws everything, including the kitchen sink, you can almost guarantee there's one of two reasons. Either one, you're really messing up, which I'm not really talking about today, or two, you're doing the right thing and the devil's coming after you. But you know what? Greater is He that is within me than he that is in this world. And that is a true fact. So no matter what you're going through, brothers and sisters, whether it be death, fear of death, loss of job, loss of children, they're not doing what they should be doing, people making fun of you because you hold to your beliefs, anything along those lines, you're doing the right thing because God is with you. And you pray and you fast. Boy, you don't hear a lot about fasting in a Baptist church. You look at any preacher, you can tell that. But you fast and you pray and you get closer to the Lord, and the Lord's will be done. But you have to be okay with that will. But not God's not going to will something bad or evil to you. But brothers and sisters, if you're praying for somebody else, you have to remember, they have to make the ultimate choice. God will give them everything necessary to make that choice, but they still have to. But it says that if you pray in the name of Jesus, not magic words, but for the will of God, then He will accomplish that. So a person that you care about may wander far from God, but you keep praying and you keep speaking the truth, and eventually, if it's God's will, eventually that person will come back to a knowledge, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But there's going to be a lot of bumps and potholes along the way, so just get ready for it. Well, if we still trusted the world or ourselves for any type of righteousness, then we would be fools of the highest order. What is the biblical definition of a fool? The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Now, brothers and sisters, a lot of people in church would not say those words, "There is no God," but they certainly would live like it. Which one is worse? You see, when we depend on ourselves for our righteousness, we're saying what God did doesn't count. Or we're saying there is no God, I've got to do this on my own. Brothers and sisters, that is evil. It is Christ that makes us holy. Let's get back to the verses today. Verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That is a quote from Leviticus 11, 44 and 45, as well as a few other places in the Bible. Now here is our purpose revealed for today's sermon. We are to be holy, to be separated unto and for the use of the Lord God. All of our lives. Now it says here all manner of conversation. That is a Greek idiom. Okay? Your all manner of conversation. That does not only mean what you speak, although that's part of it. It means how you live your life. All manner of conversation. Everything you do in your life. Every place you go. Everything where people see you. You are to be holy in that. God is separate from His creation by His holiness. And thus those that belong to Him are likewise separated from the sinful world and the sinful self in order to be placed into the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ. How do we know this? Well, there's a lot of verses. There's one in 2 Corinthians that I quote all the time. God made Him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. I'm paraphrasing there. God made Christ to be sinless so that through His sacrifice we might be sinless. And if we're sinless, then we can be before the throne of God. Because at that point we are holy. We are separated unto God. This holiness is crucial, folks. Our separateness from the world is crucial. Now, Paul talks about later on in one of his letters, he talks about you can be separate from the world, but you still have to be in the world. What does that mean? You still have to have a job, you still have to have a family, you still have to make do, you have to pay your bills, you have to do all that. You're operating inside the world, but you are separate from that world. Well, how is that possible? Easy. Folks, think about this. Think, you work for the CIA. Hope there ain't no cameras listening here. You work for the CIA. They tell you, we're going to train you to speak Russian. We're going to teach you how to live under their system. And we're going to send you over there to be a spy for us. And you're going to live in their system for 5 or 6 years before we call you. But when we call you, you expect to do what you're trained to do. So he gets trained and he lives over there. And he lives among the system. He finds a wife. He gets married. He gets a job. He does all that stuff. He's in that system. But is he of the system? Is he of that world? No, he's not. And you could say the thing about somebody from another country being here. They're part of that system, but they're not of that system. We are part of the world. We are a creation. But yet we are separate from the world through Christ. We are called to be separate. We are called to be different. Folks, it's not wrong to be different in this manner. Brothers and sisters, where is our kingdom? Who are we citizens of first and foremost? The kingdom of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. But yet we're here. And we're here to do the job that God has called us to do while we're here. And to accomplish all He has accomplished until that time when He decides to call us home. This holiness makes us different. And it causes us to long for a real peace with others. And because real holiness is from Jesus and it allows us to see God. You see, our spy will never make it to the higher echelons of ruling, wherever they may be. But they long for a peace so that they won't be bothered and they can do their job. They don't want to get arrested, in other words. Folks, we as Christians are called to do our jobs in this kingdom of darkness, where some of us get arrested, some of us get martyred, some of us live full and fruitful lives. It all depends on what God calls you to do, where He calls you to be. But wherever that is, He calls you to be holy. He calls you to be separate. He calls you to be His servant, His obedient child. And therein lies the blessing. For when judgment falls, we are not judged with the rest. We are pulled out. We are saved from the wrath of God. because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. The peace comes from Jesus. But you see, it's linked with holiness. Hebrews 12:14 says this, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Without holiness, you're not going to see Jesus or God. Without being separate unto Him, by Him, for Him, through Him, you don't know Him. And brothers and sisters, you can do all the good things in the world. You can even call yourself a believer. But if you're not separated unto God in Christ, through Christ, for Christ, when you come before the throne and you say, "Lord, I've visited the sick, I've cast out demons, I've done all these things," He's going to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Brothers and sisters, you can be morally good and still go to hell. Because how morally good can you really be if you spit on the Son of God by rejecting Him? He alone makes you holy. He alone separates you for the purposes of God. And in that, we should not, as it said, we're to have a fear, but that kind of fear, what it means is reverential awe. We should stand in awe of God. And in that awesomeness, He gives us what we need. And that is what He expects us to take and use for His purposes here on earth. And brothers and sisters, as we've seen this week, a good legacy, a good message, a good word of a life is a blessing even at the funeral. It's a wonderful thing to know that someone is set apart, made holy by faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot be holy on our own, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ that He makes us holy. Now, we're almost done. Let's go through 17 through 19. "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." That's that reverential awesomeness we were talking about having for God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, this holiness causes us to call upon the Father. Didn't Paul tell us in another place that we can, through the adoption of being sons and daughters unto God, that we can call upon God in the most intimate matter? The Bible says you can call Him Abba, Father. Now, you've heard the sermons where that really means daddy and all that stuff. It's a little more than that. But it is a close, intimate name that we can call. You know, it's interesting, you'll hear a lot of people when they pray, "God! God!" But it's different when you address Him, "Father." One is not wrong, but it's He's God, He is high and lifted up, He's on the throne, and you're praying in the power of what He has given you. But then when you say, "Father." You know, Christine has learned this. She comes to me and says, well, if she said "Father," I think an alien has swapped a body out with her because she never says that. But if she says, you know, "Dad," I'm okay with it. But when she lowers that head and she starts blinking those big old eyelids and she goes, "Father," or she goes, "Daddy," or even "Pop," I melt, because that's my child that I love that is coming to me for a need. How much more so the Father in heaven, when we come before Him, will give us what we ask as long as it's His will. Folks, you asking for Him to drop a boulder on somebody's head, He ain't going to do that, okay? But He is going to help you get through the problem that you're having with that person. And He is going to honor the prayer that you seek for that person to know Him in a salvific way. It may take a long time. You see, Peter gives us the cause of our holiness that we now see is required of all who follow the Lord. Christ's own blood purchased or redeemed, you can say, us for His kingdom. Think about that for a second. Now, we've gone over all the stuff that happened leading up to Resurrection Sunday. We know that. But remember, in the garden, the Gospel of John records that when he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for all those that would learn, would hear the Word of God through his disciples. Brothers and sisters, what we heard the Word of God from, whether it was in Bible school or a church service or a college campus, whatever it was from a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And you are now true disciples of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you should be holy, because He is holy. And there are those that look at your life and want to see what all this Christianity stuff is about. Are you really what you say you are? Are you really what you're proclaiming to be? And it's hard sometimes, folks, because we're still human, and sometimes we do things we shouldn't do. We're forgiven when we repent and believe. But once our holiness is smudged, it's a lot harder for us in this world to clean it up, because they're always looking for that, quote, hypocrite that's in the church. Oh, they talk a good game, but man, I tell you, I saw him one Friday night at a football game, and you should have heard the four-letter words coming out of that man's mouth. I saw him in traffic the other day. You know what he stuck out his winger at that trucker? Did I say winger? I meant to say window and finger at the same time. Brothers and sisters, we are always under the eye of not only people, but of God. And we are to act accordingly. Why? Because that blood purchased us for His kingdom. Jesus is our Passover lamb that is needed, the sacrifice that is needed to remove our sins. Glory be to God that He has given, that He has seen fit to reveal this to us right now so that we may hear, believe, and act for His glory and honor. Be ye holy, for it is written, be holy, for I am holy. If you want to read it in Leviticus, it says, be holy, for I am holy. Thus saith the Lord. This is God's command, not just Peter, not just Paul, but God Himself. You want to go up to the throne of grace and say, yeah, I knew you said that, God, but I had something else to do. You want to try that? You can't even go to your spouse and try that, much less before the throne of God Almighty. Knowing this, how can anyone neglect so great a salvation, so great a call to be holy? As we said earlier, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But a greater fool knows that there is a God, but refuses to acknowledge Him or obey Him. That is a fool. You know, we had a guy on my submarine, and God bless him, let's just call him Palmer. That's a made-up name. This boy was from Tennessee, and he was a southern redneck man, if there ever was, and hunt, fish, everything you can think of. His family had been farmers. He knew everything. But that man could not take an order to save his life. When the captain or somebody would come, and he would sit there, and he would just look at them, stare at them. He wouldn't say no or nothing like that. He just wouldn't do. It was like there was a blank wall. Just before I got discharged, we were supposed to be painting the boat. Now, we had a submarine, you know, it was covered in a black paint, and we had a little rubber dinghy boat, you know, and we had the 5-gallon buckets, and we were sitting there with rollers, and we were painting the side of the boat. Well, we had to get relieved, and Palmer was supposed to come relieve me. Well, Palmer didn't relieve me. And he was standing on the deck. He wasn't saying anything. And I said, Palmer, you need to come down the boat. You need to relieve me. It's your turn to do this. And he just stared at me. And finally I said, Seaman Palmer, I'm giving you a lawful directive. You see, when you're an NCO, you can't give a direct order. You have to give a lawful directive. Am I right? Yep. I'm giving you a lawful directive to get down here and relieve me. And he just stared at me. Next thing you know, he's at 3 weeks at the disciplinary barracks on the other side of Fort Island. There are consequences to knowing to do something and refusing to do it. Turned out later he wanted a discharge. So he said the best way to do it is just not do anything, and then eventually they'd kick you out, which they did, dishonorable discharge, but he did get out. Brothers and sisters, we serve a king that is much greater than any submarine commander. We serve a king that is much greater than any president or prime minister or king or queen here on earth. We serve Almighty God. And He calls us to be holy. Be ye holy. Why? Because He is holy. Never, ever forget that. Praise Him. Two things first. One, I never thought I'd pick a Palmer during a church service. Second of all, folks, as we said earlier, faith is not a game. People are dying for their faith all over the world. We may not be here yet, but there's going to come a time that we're going to be punished for our faith. Brothers and sisters, we have to be firmly founded. You know, we have all the eternal promises, but we have the promises here now too. Not only do we have the promises of blessing, but we have the promises of Him not leaving us. I will not leave you or forsake you. I will send you a comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, that will lead you back to me, that will point out everything that I have said and did for you. And that's what He does. Is the Holy Spirit talking to you this morning? Is He calling you to acknowledge God, the Son, as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Is He calling you to turn your back on things you may have got involved in or things that are pulling you away? You may believe, but all this other stuff is pulling you away. Brothers and sisters, look at your heart. Examine it through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, which you can do because the Word of God is the mirror that the Holy Spirit shows you things in. Brothers and sisters, take that and use it. If you want to come up and pray or give your life to Christ, it's not me that's doing it. It's the Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ that's doing it. But it's a celebratory thing that we can praise God through it. And you can have brothers and sisters pray with you and be with you. Folks, here lately, this congregation has depended on each other as brothers and sisters in Christ to get through some really hard times. And that's what we're here for. We're to comfort each other with a comfort that the world knows not. And He is able to comfort us because He is the author of all comfort. Take stock of your relationship. Take stock of what God has called you to do. And if He's calling you to pray, He's calling you to come forward, He's calling you to anything He's calling you to do, where you're praying right there, encouraging one another as we leave, whatever it may be, do that so that you will show that you are set apart. For He who calls you to be holy is holy Himself. Never, ever forget that. Praise Him.